devils. Come out of her, my people.
Do you believe in the Virgin Mary?
Come out of her, my people.
Sinners.
Out of everyone.
Benevolence.
Out of everyone.
Sinners. Benevolence. Come out of her, my people. Sinners.
Out of everyone.
Some of you little precious ones have that little grocery money. Some of that little money set aside.
I have sinned against you, my Lord. And I would ask that you...
Come out of my life.
Looking for a city where we'll never die.
What the hell was that?
Sinners, come out of heaven, my people. Sinners, come out of her, my people.
You can't handle the truth.
I have a greater responsibility than you can possibly fathom.
Welcome back. I should say that to us. You've always been here. We took a break. This is Come Out of Her, My People. And we have taken an even longer hiatus than our previous ones. We've just been so busy, with life in general. And I have to apologize to our diehard fans, two or three, that we have just been sidetracked with other things going on. We literally had no time to do any shows, and there's never a shortage of topics out there, and I think we got a dandy topic today, and of course I'm going to have to bring in my my helper for that. But first I want to mention that you can find this show at podomatic.com, and if you go to my website, either comeoutofhermypeople.net or pathwaysradio.org. Or is it pathwaysradio.com? I think you should go to pathwaysradio.com. I believe I'm redirecting everything there. Pathwaysradio.com, and you will get links to this show and other shows and such like that. The websites have been redesigned, so many of our older shows have been archived, and eventually, give me some time, I will create a page and put all of the old stuff back up, because we have hundreds of shows that we have done, Ronnie and I, together, over the last, 4 years? 3 years? I don't know. I'll have to ask Ronnie. Fingers crossed he may not remember. He pretends to not know me sometimes. Ever since I closed the green room down, he's been rather hostile towards me. But today I opened up the green room, restocked the bar, but we've only served Appletinis, so he may come out a little bit upset at only having Appletinis available to him. So we'll see. Let's open up the green room door and let him out. Ronnie James.
Hey, Jim.
Hey.
Hey, man, what's this near beer stuff you got stocked up on, man?
It's called an Appletini.
Yeah. It's a foo-foo drink.
It's, hey, when you're in South Florida now,
mm-hmm.
It was either Bahama Mamas,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
or Appletinis. So,
yeah. I was wanting to Jamaica me crazy, but somebody told me I was that at the airport when I was coming. Somebody knows me there too. Yeah, hollering down the the boarding area hollered, "Shut her down, Cletus, she's sucking mud." I said, "They know me."
We were going to have Jen on today, and that would have prompted us to just go to straight rum. But
yes, we had to do shots.
Yeah, but he didn't show up, so what are you going to do?
Keep sending me those friend requests to play Candy Crush Saga. Go on, keep sending them, Jed. Yeah. Go ahead. I know what you're doing.
Boy's got too much time on his hands.
Hey, Jed. Yeah. I was looking forward to it, too. You can call me Jay. You can call me JJ. You can call me...
You can't call you JJ. We have a JJ.
Yeah, that's true.
JJ rocks.
Yeah, hey, Jay. Yeah. It's good to be back.
Man, it's been months.
It has. There's a lot has happened. You know the world's coming to an end, too.
I'm watching it daily.
the end is nigh. April something, 14th.
Is that... Do we have a date again?
The blood moon.
The blood moon. I've seen a lot of stuff lately about this is it.
Yes, this is it.
The year is lined up. The months have lined up. The days have lined up.
1 billion people are going to be translocated.
Translocated to
cars without drivers, planes, you know.
Oh yeah, yeah. Get your Nikes on and your blue suits, because
every born again Christian,
Marshall Applewhite's coming back for you.
on the planet is going to suddenly disappear.
Just sip on this juice here.
And on the I guess it was March 20th, the first day of spring, there was the eclipse. And
oh yeah,
I live in DFW area, Dallas Fort Worth, and
that's by the temple, right? The Hearst,
Hearst,
first Messianic Hearst temple. Delusional freaks. Yeah,
it is. Yes, people have to make it a pilgrimage there at least once in their lifetime.
Yeah, bring a full colon and a lighter and a paper bag.
I've seen that in college. Okay. But they posted these pictures on the web, you know, and, you know, anything they post on the web, you had to believe. But
it doesn't make it on there. If it's not true, it doesn't go on the web. So we already know that.
I opened up the door that night and looked out, and I couldn't see the moon because it was a rainstorm
in the desert, right?
Out here in the desert, but there was these big pictures of the skyline of Fort Worth with this blood moon. Boy, it must have been a break in the clouds. Cause it's sure raining like cats and dogs here.
Wow,
I can't see it. And they had lots of books going out about it. And bumper stickers with the end of "End Is Nigh." I'm just trying to raise up enough money to fix my time machine so I can go back to the 70s.
It's either that or you need the magic cloak.
Yes, the mystical, magical, the power cloak. Power cloak, yes. I miss that. I haven't been able to find my reserve. I had
Once you set it down, you lose it, and you can't find it again.
It's true. You got to keep it on. You have to keep it on you.
I mean, either that or get the magic underwear that we hear about all the time, the radiation shielding linen underwear.
Yes.
That you wear underneath your outer garment, which is then you apply the ZZ belt.
Oh boy, yes.
That is the rave of the messianic world, because it's just so much easier to wear a belt with the ZZ on it.
Yes, yes. And especially, I guess since we've last talked, big news is that Christians are leaving Yeshua in droves, according to a well-known
delusional
messianic
alcoholic
prophet. prophet, prophetess, I might say. They're leaving in droves. I thought that was really interesting because it reminded me of Zechariah 8 about taking the hold of him that is a Jew and say, we want to go with you, or we've heard that God is with you. And, you know, it's kind of like happening. You want to see some prophecy, you know, and stuff like that. That might be a sign. You know, if everybody's searching for a sign or a wonder to get a hold of. Mm. My greatest one we've got going right now is open up the door and look at the sun, you know, sky. Bam, there's a shine sign.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got into a debate. Gosh, I don't remember. It's been a couple of weeks, but when you started this, picking up the Twitter campaign for Pathways.
Yes.
And the
Cletus did. Not me, Cletus.
But these atheists are out in force. Mm-hmm. not to go off track, but I've noticed that the hotbed of atheism is pouring out of the UK. It's like almost exclusive there. United States is, you know, a few random, you know, people here and there, a couple in Canada or something, but the UK, it was vicious. And our friend AJ Ostrander was literally inundated with some fierce, nasty people, atheists, trying to counter his book, Pathways to the Biblical Truth, because they would see the cover, they would see Bible, and then they're like, oh, here's another dingbat, you know. And, you know, that's not what his book is about. His book is coming out of religion, not putting people back in it. And he said that he's telling these people, he's like, you're judging a book by its cover, so you're fitting the stereotype of a moron, basically. Get the book and find out that I'm not pushing people into a religion. I'm trying to get them out of a religion. You should at least be happy with that. But no, they were trashing him bad. So, you know. So Pathways, we got some of that too from these atheists, rabid, nasty people.
And Great Britain is the center of cultural diversity and understanding and tolerance.
Yeah.
I don't understand that, you know. I guess the education system there is
failed.
Dropped the ball. Something has happened. Now, when you can get arrested for speaking Winston Churchill's speeches in public, there's a problem.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, man, you know, it's crazy. Just this guy that was, I guess he was a street preacher, and he was quoting Winston Churchill, and they locked him up.
Yeah,
find him, and all kinds of things. I just can't see that, you know. And I have no problem with anybody speaking about Jesus on the street or Islam or any other thing on the street. When they start going death to the Jews and death to Israel and death to America, you have a problem.
Except on Facebook. You're free to publish that stuff on Facebook.
Yes. Mr. Zinger, whatever his name is. Mr. Facebook. Mr. Face Looker. Mr. and Squitter. All the social networks. I don't know what we would do without the computer. You know, let's just take all their money and divest out of Israel and everybody that wants to do the BDS movement, boycott and divest, and just turn in your cell phones and turn in your computers, because I think that you should be the start, hypocrite. you know, here's your garbage can. Drop your stuff in here.
No kidding.
A good friend of mine, Shlomo Phillips, had a counter protest a couple of weeks ago outside of Target, where the BDS movement was out protesting in force. And, you know, kudos to you guys, all the Christians and the Jewish people that showed up to help support that. It just blows me away that the people that are wanting the destruction of Israel, basically, is what they're saying, you know, pull out all the money. But you have a cell phone in your pocket, hypocrite. Mm. You know, turn in your cell phone. Let's say you don't want to give anything to Israel, any of the intellectual designs and technology that come out of Israel. So bring your computers down. We're just going to collect them. We'll have a movement. Yeah. Start with you. You go ahead and divest your cell phone right now.
I think it's funny that everybody's, you know, in an uproar of, you know, NSA spying and all this stuff. I don't want the government tracking me. Yet they have a cell phone with a SIM card and
right.
Google. You could go to, literally, I mean, if you have a Google account, so if you have an Android-based mm-hmm. phone, mm-hmm. There's a good chance you have a Google email address or a Google account on there somewhere. And I think it's almost mandatory because in order to go through the Play Store, which is where you get all your apps, you have to have a Google account.
Exactly.
So once you have the Google account, and then you put any app on the phone whatsoever, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, blah, 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 boom, Google has your phone.
Yeah.
And there is a way, and I haven't done this in a while because I don't have a Droid anymore. You can go into your settings of Google and track everywhere you've been. It'll pull up your state.
See your every movement.
It'll be representative. Is that how they say it? Representative of the cell towers you're going to ping off of. So last year we go from our home to a Jewish fest down in Guilford, Connecticut, down at the shore. We meet our good friend Mark Sosnowski down there.
Mark, hey but, Mark.
Hey Mark. Like we did the year before, and we do it every year.
Uh-huh.
And I guess when I get back to back home next, you know, couple days or couple weeks, I see a thing. It's like, oh my gosh, let me see if I, you know, I'm getting tracked, and lo and behold, it has like my route almost near perfect because based off the cell towers, it's putting you on the roads that it knows that you're going to be on. And boom, it tracked us all the way down to the shore. And then over, we went into New Haven and then all the way back up to Hartford, all the way back home. Every tower, boom, 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 you saw my route. And then you saw the other routes of other days of, you know, going to the store, going, you know, here or there. And it's just like, this is crazy.
That's scary stuff, man. Big brother.
Right. And people are posting on these things. They're posting pictures with location tags on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. If you don't have your settings right, it's locating you every single time.
Yeah.
And then they're crying foul, going, I don't want the government tracking me. Well, but you're doing it for them.
Yeah.
All they're doing is tapping in.
You're carrying the device around with you in your pocket.
they're not doing anything weird or wacky. They are doing weird and wacky things, but they don't have to do much of anything but simply look at what you've done. And they know where you're at, obviously. And then you want to cry foul because, you know, this the devil is going to, there we go with Satan again, and he's going to make them put chips in my hand, and then they're going to track me. It's like, you have a Twitter account, you moron.
That's my new book about the mark of the beast being in my pocket. I have a beast in my pocket, and it's got the numeral 666 on it somewhere. Yeah, there it is. Well, no, actually, sorry. That's 999. Never mind.
It was upside down, Ronnie.
Yes, it was.
I take my privacy very seriously. Hold on, I have to check in on Facebook real quick. Okay, there is my location. Sorry, I didn't do that yet today. But I take my privacy very seriously. Let me do it on Twitter just real quick.
I
I don't want people knowing where I am. I'm very privacy concerned. I might as well do an Instagram real quick. Hold on. There. But you're going to complain about a little microchip in your hand?
I mean, the car camera.
I mean, seriously, this is really getting ridiculous. All right, that's what's going on in the world. I wanted to talk to you today about something that Jed and I were talking about practically all day yesterday. And during our pre-show, I clued you in as to the topic and stuff. And it's funny because you shared something with me earlier, and we'll get to that in a minute, that kind of it fits into this puzzle a little bit. So I'll let you know, because I think our listeners would enjoy that. You'll have to put a link in,
okay,
so they can listen to that.
Yeah. But that was awesome.
Yeah. All right. So you were a Christian for a long time. Mm-hmm. I was a Christian for a long time. We were in that movement, whether it was in leadership, my pastoral position. We're just a plain old simpleton, pew sitting, sheep, whatever. Life was simple. You go to church Sunday, you get your little motivational speech, you get your marching orders, you head home, you're feeling high and mighty, nothing can stop me. My nemesis is Satan, but he's going to flee from me now because I'm full of the Spirit. And I got my family with me. We're going to go get some bacon and eggs and go home and watch football or do whatever it is. And maybe once or twice that week we'll go to a prayer meeting or a Bible study or something. You go to work. Work sucks. Work's good. The next day, work sucks. Work's good. But life is simple. Can't pay your bills, but then I got paid. Praise Jesus, I got paid, so that's a miracle. You pay your bills, you struggle, but it's just Satan after you, so your struggles aren't caused by you, they're caused by Satan. But life is simple, life is plain, life is good. You get a little bit of money in your pocket, you go to out for a little drive and adventure with your family, things are good. You're obeying the pastor, you're listening to Jesus and everything, you read your Bible. Mm-hmm. Life is simple. Then somebody smacks you with a little bit of Torah. Torah mixed in with the Brit Hatashah,
the Brit.
Well, that sounds Jewish. It's the New Testament in the original
Hebrew.
The Hebrew or Aramaic, this is something special. Look, the names have changed. It's not Jesus, it's Yeshua. And it's not Paul, it's Shaul. And,
Matthew.
Matashahu. All these cool new names to learn. And, Jesus was a Jew. Look at that. And he was a rabbi, and he was Jewish, and they did Jewish things, and the words are a little different. So, I could be, still a Christian, but, now I'm, kind of Jewish. I got the best of both worlds. I'm a fulfilled Jew. I could wear a tallit and a tzitzit belt, and I can go to church on Saturdays or Friday nights, and everything's cool. The world gets hiccup a little bit. Some friends change, but basically everything stays the same. Mm-hmm. And then someone comes along and smacks you upside the head with a Torah. And then you learn what idolatry really is. You learn that Jesus is a figment of Constantine's imagination. You learn that our hashtag we like to promote, there's no need for Jesus. Hashtag no need for Jesus. You learn that the real truth is the Torah. Hashtag Torah.
Right.
Hashtag Moses. And you get a wake up call. Now you learn that you're not Jewish. You are in that realm of being a goy, a Gentile.
Yerger.
Yerger, if you're pursuing a conversion, but you know what conversion are you going to do? You can't convert to anything else but, you know, Orthodox, because they don't accept anything else. And but then again, the ultra-Orthodox don't accept regular Orthodox, so, oh my God. Now you're right back into denominational, you know, fiddle-faddle. This group doesn't accept this group, and but you know, the Orthodox community, well, they're in charge, so they have the final say. And it's just funny what has come out of all of that, and I'm not really bashing that system. It is what it is. But 100 years ago, that wasn't even the system.
Oh, we wouldn't be talking.
You
about
wouldn't
that
be
today.
Even be talking.
We wouldn't about 20 years ago. Probably.
You live in so and so place, and you hear about this thing. You're like, hey, I want to be Jewish, and they're like, okay, you're Jewish, you're in. It wasn't. You don't. Okay. Well, now we have to throw out every kitchen thing that you have. You have to totally redo your kitchen. You have to buy twice of it, two things of everything. You can't do this. You can't do that. You can't do this. You have to do this. Here's all the rules. Here's all the halakha. Here's the Talmud. Here's this. Here. Read all this stuff. And you have to. Oh, we forgot to tell you. You have to celebrate. You have to move. You have to move in with us.
Yeah. You do have to get into a community.
Yep. You have to move into this community that costs you 20 times more than how you were living before, but that's okay, because the job that you had, you can't work there either, so you have to quit that job. So it's like, what?
Somebody did make that statement the other day. It's not a real good career choice, you know,
no,
to decide to become Jewish, yes.
No, if you're independent, wealthy, then it's a very easy choice. If you have money in your background, you have savings, then it's a simple thing, but for most people that have the heart to become Jewish the right way are literally locked out because they have no resources. They don't have the support system. They can't just walk away from all of this stuff and you're going to say, oh, well, you can't come in. You're not part of it. It's like, that's my biggest problem with the whole conversion thing, and I do, and people are going to be like, oh, Jim's anti-convert. No, he's not. He's actually, I actually am very pro-Orthodox. You know, even the Hasidics, and I mean, I go to a Chabad.
Yeah.
You know, so they're not, they're very warm and welcoming, but it's, you know your place, and they know their place, and you know that they're not going to accept you as anything else but a visitor to what they're doing. And they invite me to everything. You know, there's no restrictions. I can't drink certain wine. I made a mistake. I said, all right, every Shabbat after the service, we do Kiddush. We drink wine and vodka and all sorts of good stuff. And it's L'chaim's all around.
Yes.
And good times. So I said, let me do this. They're like down to, you know, a quarter bottle of Rashi. You know, they don't even want to drink it, but somebody brought it. So I said, you know what, let me get them a good bottle of wine. So I bought a good bottle of wine. Took it there one morning when I was davening there. Mm-hmm. Put it in the fridge. Noticed they didn't use it the next Shabbat. So I'm like, oh, maybe, okay, they're going to hold on to it. They didn't use it the next Shabbat. So I'm like, went to my friend there and I said, is there something wrong with that wine? So he had to ask the rabbi. He's like, hey, Rabbi, what's wrong with the wine? And he says, we can't use it here. So he's like, what are you talking about? He's like, no, we can't use it here. It's he's like, I could take it home and use it, but we can't use it here. So he had to explain to my friend, who then in turn came to me and explained that, and I forget the term. I'm like trying to do the old Google search I think it's this. Meshuvel. Yeah, after wine goes through the meshuvel process, it remains kosher no matter what type of handling it receives. A non-kosher waiter or server can open the wine and still remains kosher. So you'll see on the back of a good kosher wine. Now, like if you get Rashi, I don't think it even mentions it, because you can buy Rashi anywhere. It's just a basic, it's like, you know, any typical liquor store that carries a kosher wine. Mm-hmm. It'll have the U on the front. Mm-hmm. And that's it. You know, it won't really go into anything else. Just, look, we're kosher, yay. Okay, anybody can drink that stuff. But the real kosher wine is has a spot on the back that's going to say whether it's meshuvel or not. And what that means is whether or not you can drink, if a Jew can drink it around Gentiles.
Aha.
So you don't want to buy the wrong kind. What I did is I bought the wrong kind, and I bought it. And it wasn't, it's not an offense of any kind. It's just they're not permitted to drink that in front of or with Gentiles. So the rabbi was going to take it home, and he was going to have it with his family. But the wine that they buy has to be used in the mixed crowd. Mm-hmm. Because there's other people there that are in the same boat as me. They have not converted yet.
Right.
Or they're in the process of. So they have to drink different wine, like Rashi or any typical wine store. Mm-hmm. Very basic kosher wine is fine, but I got the good stuff. So the good stuff, can't use it. So that's an instance where I kind of screwed up, but I learned something, and you do too. So you have to be careful on what kind of wine you take into a shul,
especially for wine connoisseurs such as ourselves.
Oh yes.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. So, be careful with the cheese in your meat, too.
Yeah.
Yes. What is it? We were listening to Israel Campbell at the Wall Comedy Basement, off the Wall Comedy Basement, earlier today, and he was speaking about the Torah speaks about keeping cheese and milk separate. And it mentions it three times in the Torah to keep milk and cheese separate. But it mentions in the Torah 36 times to welcome the stranger among you. Hmm. 36 times in the Torah, welcome the stranger among you. He says, but we start talking about that, they go, Kabbalah, that's Kabbalah.
Yeah.
We cannot slice an onion with a knife. And we have books. We have hundreds of books everywhere that tells us they not to keep cheese and milk together. 36 times. Welcome the stranger among you. Oh, I don't know anything about that.
Yeah.
Tua. That's Kabbalah. That's Kabbalah.
Yeah. You know, it's I swore that I went to where I go? I went to a liberal shul down here. I went to a conservative one down here. Mm-hmm. And they were warm and welcoming and blah 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 blah. And I said, okay, let me try the Chabad. And I said, you know, this should be interesting, huh? The first time I walked in, they obviously knew that I wasn't, you know, one of theirs. But, you know, the rabbi was the first at the door, shook my hand. How you doing? You know, what brought you here? What's your background? He's like, you're welcome here. You know, here's the Here's the Siddur. They'll call out the page numbers. Follow along. Here's the Gutnik Torah. And then stay afterwards, you know, for our Kiddush and a meal.
Yes.
So, you know.
Yes, Baruch Hashem.
But then the Lachaim started and the macaroni salads and the this and that and the other stuff and the colant and which is the meat, because they eat, it's the same thing every week, but it's meat, potatoes, beans and stuff. That's their hot dish. That part of their tradition is to have a hot dish of meat every Shabbat after the service. So
right.
The sodas are flowing and the vodka's flowing, everything. They wanted to know my background, and he was a pastor. They thought it was the greatest thing ever to have me there. And, you know, welcome back.
Mm-hmm.
And next, you know, over the next couple of weeks, I'm giving a tallit. I'm giving my own chumash. I'm giving my own siddur. I'm giving prayer books and all sorts of stuff. And it's literally a part of them, but I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I'm saying? I'm
right.
Welcome.
Yeah.
So they are very warm and accepting of, you know, the stranger. They know I'm not an idolater.
Yes.
But I wish I could say that I received that kind of treatment, and others, I know of others that have been given the cold shoulder.
Yes, I know some people like that too.
So, this one's, I want to say it's like this everywhere, but I don't think I could say it because I haven't been everywhere, so I can't speak to that.
Well, that has to be troubling for someone, too, that has just left Christianity or probably left the Messianic movement. And, you know, they had community and they had fellowship and they had a sense of belonging.
Exactly.
Probably all their life, you know. And a lot of Christians out there, I mean, really have a heart for God, you know. And they've come to Torah and they hunger for that connection, that community. And it has to be a terrible, terrible thing, you know, to feel that you're so far outside that you don't belong and not to be welcomed. You know, your experience was awesome. You know, they made you feel welcome and everything. But I've heard of people that felt really outside. You know, contact the rabbi before you attend services.
Right.
You know, you need to get with the rabbi, you know. Really? Wow. You know. So it has, I mean, it has to be a letdown. And I think there's a lot of room for some light in between there, you know.
Yeah, I really agree.
To use a term someone used recently.
I hate being like we are on the outside, criticizing across the fence, you know what I'm saying? I don't like I don't like doing that because some may say that's a cheap shot. You're miscategorizing. I mean, I walked into a, I've shared before on different shows. I walked into a Jewish bookstore down here, met a guy who knows all the people that we know, did the counter missionary circuit, you know, knows
right.
Tovia Singer, he knows Gutman Locks, he knows everybody. And he's been there, he's done that. And now he just sits back and he runs a bookstore, you know. So he's tired, he's old, and he pees a lot, like you. You like how I work that in?
I'm okay, man. I had to sit real close to the toilet on the plane, you know.
Yeah. But one day, I'm talking to him, and he asked me why I'm even bothering talking with this non-Orthodox rabbi. I dropped the name, you know,
right.
That I talked to this guy, worked with him a little bit out of New York. Well, why are you bothering with him? You know, why are you wasting your time? And I'm like, well, I don't see education as a waste of time. You know, I'm not going to insult the man, but I'm like, you know, he's basically calling my non-Orthodox rabbi friend, who is Jewish, he's a real Jew, he's not like a Trim or a Fredrickson fake Jew, he's a real Jew, you know, So he's not playing pretend. He's right. just not in. He grew up in Orthodox, but he's not in that now. He said, "Why am I wasting my time?" And I'm like, "Well, you don't understand my situation. You know, I don't live in a Jewish community. I can't live in a Jewish community right now. You know, we're traveling. I need to work with somebody." And he stepped up to the plate and has said that he would help me out. Well, you're wasting your time with that, and blah, 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 blah. And I said, well, frankly, nobody else in the Orthodox community is bothered to even step in and say, maybe I can help you. Maybe I can guide you a little bit. Maybe the only person that I know that I have met face-to-face and has had the warmness and showed me friendship was Ira Michelson. You know, and I had the privilege of meeting him down here for lunch one day, he and his wife, before they went to Israel.
Yes.
Permanently, you know. So, you know, we know Ira. We know his group, his friends, Rod Bryant, and all those people, and great group of people, you know. Ira showed me friendship and warmth. Yes. And I can message him at any time and say, hey, can you help me with something? And he'll help me, but he's in Israel. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I'm saying? I called Rod. Rod has the kind of he's very understanding to our position because he was there too. He was a pastor of a bigger church than what I had. Mm-hmm. He had you know, the bells and whistles, and mm-hmm. when they found out that he was deviating from the you know, church theology, they took his bells and whistles away. You know?
Sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He lost a lot more than I did. I lost a little bit compared to what he lost. But it's the same tactics. It's, you know, anyone, any pastor that's out there that has gone through this has lost considerable. And Rod's in that same boat. And so we have other people that are in our boat where we're, the outside looking in, but there's some issues. And I've talked to other people at my shul that they certainly look Orthodox. They fit into the Orthodox, the Chabad crowd. They can rattle the prayers off from the Siddur in Hebrew and follow along, and you'd have no idea that they're not Jewish. There's a kid, this kid, he's actually a gypsy, that goes to our shul, and he looks the part, he sounds the part, you know, he talks the talk, walks the walk, all that stuff. And he found out that I was a pastor, and that I came out of Christianity into the Messianic and then out of that and into this chasm of whatever the heck it is. And he was like so interested. He's like, you know, how'd you do it? You know, what were your steps? Where's your family in this? And it basically turns out that half of his family, he was, I don't know his instance. He may have been born Jewish, not raised Jewish. Went to Christianity, met a girl, had a family, and then found out his Jewish roots. But he can't just walk back in. Do you know what I'm saying? He's, I'm just throwing out the term half-breed type of a situation where he's like, he's kind of in, but he's not in. You know, he has to almost reconvert, but he can't do it. He doesn't live in the community, and his family is not Jewish. As a matter of fact, they're not even really accepting of it. They won't get rid of the Christmas tree. They won't get rid of Easter. They won't get rid of their New Testament. So he's in a real pickle.
You're talking major blasphemy when you talk about getting rid of the Easter bunny and things like that. And these entrenched traditions.
Yeah.
In that, you're talking major heresy.
Yeah, so I mean, we're not the only, you know, you, I, Jed, and all of the, our other friends out there that are in this realm where there's a big stumbling block put in our way, where you can't be a part of this community that you want to be a part of because of something. You know, and this kid is really, I mean, he wants to be part of the, that Jewish community so bad. And he's, like, heartbroken, crushed, because his family won't even listen to it. You know, he can head out the door and he can go to shul and stuff like that. But
there's a lot of people that experience that. I mean, families separating and breaking up.
Yes.
Because of, you know, your decision to follow the Torah and follow the people of Israel. Big time.
Big time.
Especially if you're entrenched in, you know, a family that's Christian.
Yep.
And a lot of them don't come to that light.
You're guaranteed a divorce if you... If you try to push that conversion,
yeah,
or even if you don't have to convert, if you try to push that on them, your wife, your kids, well, you're bucking for a divorce. And every rabbi I talk to here has said that. Mm-hmm. So because they're at why are you talking, you know, back again to why are you talking to this non-Orthodox rabbi? Why are you wasting your time? Don't you know you're going to have to do an Orthodox conversion eventually anyway? Mm-hmm. I know, you know, then they're going through stories of people that have converted four different times because they started in a liberal. They convert to a liberal place.
Three bar mitzvahs.
Yeah.
Or, you know, four.
They go to a liberal place, so they convert to that, and then they go to a conservative place, then they convert to that, and then they, you know, reform, and then you have to convert to Orthodox, and it's like, why are you going to waste your time? Just go with the real one. Yeah. And it's just like them, you know, I keep thinking back to, here we go, the Methodists think that the Baptists aren't saved, and the Baptists don't think the Methodists are saved.
It's exactly the same.
And then we were congregational, and none of those other people were saved, and we weren't even saved according to the apostolic faith. And it's like...
Oh, no.
Let's...
No one saved us.
I don't...
I'm sorry, that's my old...
Yeah. I don't want your stupid religion. I just want to... pursue what I know is right, and that is quote unquote Judaism.
Follow your heart,
as we call it today, Judaism. I want to follow the Torah. I want the Talmud, and I want the Zohar in context.
Reputable
people, you know, and it's and I'm digging the Chabad way because I'm getting the Torah. The heavy dose of Torah. I'm getting Talmud in there too, and I'm getting a proper teaching of the Zohar, Kabbalah, in there. And there's nothing crazy. There's no red strings. There's none of that weird, you know, like a crystal kind of weird stuff. You know what I'm saying? It's very down to earth, basic, and it's applicable to my life now. But having said all of that, I'm still not in that group. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I get to watch other people that are in the group, not this shul, but other people that are born with a special gift, sucking down shrimp and scallops and lobsters and bacon and pork chops and ribs, and they don't even bother wearing kippah or tzitzits. They hate Israel. It's like, my God.
Oh, boy.
Self-hating. Yeah.
You have got to do some shul shopping and leave your, you know, and trust in Hashem to guide you. You know? I mean, it's that hunger that's got us on this journey to begin with. More, basically.
Right.
More of the God's truth. And to me, the Torah is the ultimate truth. Everything that I've seen since leaving the Christian faith is, you know, show that the misunderstanding, the misinterpretation, the twisting of things, context, it becomes more clear. And this journey that we're on, it's not going to be as simple as walking in and and having that born again experience. And all right, you're one of us, you know, you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Now you're part of our group and come to, you know, it's not that easy. And that journey's not that easy for a lot of people. Yeah, you know, like you said, you might end up having three or four bar mitzvahs in your journey.
Maybe.
In your journey.
It is a journey.
Yeah.
And some people, they want to call it a waste of time.
You're going to learn each one of
you're going to learn. It's like, you know, saying that I reject my time as a Christian. I reject my time as a Messianic. Why would you reject that? It's a learning experience.
It's part of me. Part of the time I was a Sikh.
You wouldn't have been, you wouldn't be the guru and rabbi that you are now if you hadn't been a Sikh, you know, and apostolic and all that stuff.
It's part of me. It's so much a part of my experience, and I cherish every part of it because it gives me understanding when the truth, when the light is shined on the truth. It just jumps off the page. Bam! There it was all the time, right in front of me.
Yeah, I just see a book. I see a book that we should all write and collaborate on this. Where you have the easy life. You're minding your own business. You get smacked in the head. You deviate a little bit. Oh, here's some new truth. You get smacked again. Oh my gosh, Judaism is the way, but I can't touch it. I'm a Noahide. Let me stay in this realm. Let me figure things out. I'll sit back. I'll learn. I'll shut my mouth. I swear. I'm just sitting here. I'll shut my mouth. Teach me.
Yeah.
Okay. I learned enough. This is not enough for me. Noahide is beat. I hate this thing. This is boring. I'm not meant to be a Noahide. I need to do something else. You don't understand. I was a pastor for 10 years. I can't just sit here and not eat live animals. Okay, I need more than this. Okay, I don't have any idols in my life. Okay, so all right, so I meet all seven criteria. Great. Now what? I just met all seven. I just did it again. I'm overqualified for a Noahide. What else do I do? Oh, I can become Jewish. And then somebody goes, no, you can't be Jewish. And you're like, okay, now what? Where's my life was so much better when I had a cross around my neck, when I had idolatry in my life, when I just followed the marching orders given by that pulpit pimping idiot. It was simple.
It was.
But now I go through this process. I learn a little bit. I go in. I said, okay, I want all of this. I want to be connected to God in a special way, and I want to pray, you know, I want to learn Hebrew, I want to read Hebrew, I want to follow your siddur, I want to be part of you guys. And they're like, nope, you can't. You don't live in our community. And you're like, I can't live in your community. I have a house, or, you know, I don't live here, or something, or my job. I have to, well, then you can't be in it. And you're like,
what do you mean you have to take all these days off work?
It's like half the but you want to say well, work? Half the people in here I either see working on Saturday or eating ribs in the barbecue joint or down at the tiki place sucking down shrimp. They're not wearing this, they're not wearing that, they're not following anything. It's like, what exactly, why do I have to follow the rules and they don't? Well, because they were born into it. So they're automatically in. They can do what they want. You know, half my shul drives to shul.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, the rabbi and some of the core people don't. They walk. They don't carry anything.
Right.
But it's like, you can't be part of that unless you go above and beyond. What does it boil down to? They want to see if you're serious or not. So basically,
bazinga.
You know, it leaves you right back out on the other side of the fence looking in, going, well, I tried. Now you remain.
I think your heart, though, if you're sincere, if you hunger for it, you know, you're going to push it. Get out of the way. I'm coming in.
Yeah, you kind of force your way through.
I'm coming in whether you want me or not. This is it, man. This is, you know, I feel God's led me here. I'm not
And it's odd that I'm even saying it because, you know, like tomorrow morning I could get up and I could go and daven at the shul, mm-hmm. just like one of them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Saturday morning I'll show up, be just like a part. They won't even look at me different than anybody else in there. Mm-hmm. You know, they won't talk behind my back. They won't. It's like I'm in, but I know I'm not. Do you know what I'm saying? I could do that, but I could do that the rest of my life. And I can go to their Pesach things, and I can go to their Purim things, and I can go to their Hanukkah things. And I'm invited to all of it. I'm not restricted by anything. So it's kind of weird, but I know other people are stuck in that realm where they've lived as a Noahide, and they said,
it's not enough.
That's not enough. All right, let me go in. And then the door is slammed on their face. Nope. Mm-hmm. And then they're like left with, oh, well, what the hell do I do? So they don't do anything. They basically just whoop, go off back into the world where they either believe or don't believe. They're just like, ah, screw it.
Ah, but they've been delivered out of the idolatry. You know what I mean? I think once you come to the knowledge and knowing that that of that sin in itself, mm-hmm. you know, and then you go, you know, I don't see people going back to it. I don't know. There might be some, but I mean, I think that would be the grave mistake.
I wonder if they can replace that.
I just want to go back and worship Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I mean, get involved in that.
Do you think they can go back? I know. You know, I should ask. See, Jed should have really been here because I think he knows people.
Jed. Yeah.
Yeah. That he might be able to shed some light on this, where people have come to that realization and said, and after a period of time, of months or even years of rejecting the church, I can't go into church. I can't even go in there. It's idolatry. I can't even step through the door. And then they go to a place where what we're talking about, where they're just like throw their hands up and they're like, oh, screw it all. And then they find it that they can go back. They're not going to believe it, but they're going to go back because maybe their family is back in there.
Right.
You know, so I could sit there and I can just listen and or doodle, eat Tic Tacs or whatnot. And just
yeah, get you a little etch a sketch.
Yeah, stand up when I'm told to stand up.
Tablet.
Sit down.
Kneel. Stand up.
Kneel when I'm told to kneel. Throw a quarter in the tithe thing and get my church cracker and my church juice and leave.
I play dominoes if you can.
Yeah. So I'm wondering if people do that. I wouldn't. I don't know. I just think it leaves so much. It's almost like you can create a. I'm going to say this, and somebody's going to do it. Start a Noahide church, mm-hmm. where they meet on Friday nights or Saturdays, and kind of just do their own thing. Mm-hmm. You know, celebrate not eating a live animal. It's like, okay, we're done. You know,
L'chaim.
L'chaim, we did it. Let's have a drink.
I'm here for the L'chaim.
And get out of here. You know it. Mm-hmm. How simple can a Noahide church be? It can be, you know, the high priestess if you wanted to, I guess. Because what difference does it make? As long as you don't violate those seven rules, then what difference does it make?
That's one way to look at it. I wanted to be May Queen, though. I want to be May Queen. Keep it gay.
Keep it gay.
Keep it gay.
I don't know. That, you know, that's just something that we were throwing around yesterday.
There's a lot of people that are going through this.
I think so. I think so.
No, I know that there is. I know there is.
They're not.
You are not the Lone Ranger.
They're not going to go into a conversion, or maybe they'll go into a lesser than Orthodox, which, you know, is not acceptable to anybody. But or they're gonna just, I don't know, fade into the world. You know, okay, so they're not going to eat a live animal, and they're not going to accept Jesus or any other idol. But they're just—it's just gonna be nothingness. You know, is that what it's all about? Is that good enough Ronnie, tell me. Please tell me. Is that good enough?
I don't think so. Think
can you issue a ruling here? Ronnie, just tell me what to do.
To issue a ruling? just keep pressing on, Jim. Keep pressing on. If you have a bad experience somewhere, keep shul shopping.
Shul shopping.
Shul shopping. Find someone. Attach yourself to one of those cloaks of a jewel.
Grab their zitzit.
No, I want to go with you. I've heard that God is with you. Yeah.
Yep. No. If you grab their zitzit, remember this.
Yeah.
If you grab a zitzit and you pull on it and it pulls off their belt loop, you don't have a Jew. You have a Messianic.
Yes.
And that's not a good thing.
Run.
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 Because they're going to shove Jesus down your throat. Oh, yeah, I mean,
if they start having a Passover,
yes,
say,
yeah.
And they start breaking the cracker and telling you that this is Jesus, run.
Run.
Run, run, run now. Don't think about it. Just run. I think one of the greatest, one of the first commandments is not to have another God. When we learned in Sunday school.
There you go.
You know, but couldn't.
But here's
realize.
Another God.
Yeah, here's three of them.
We're here's on. Three of them.
Yeah.
And a fourth, the guy in the red suit.
Could he be Satan? Yes. A lot of folks out there experiencing the same things.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
I really believe the more people that come out of Christianity and start searching for truth. You know, they're going to be searching for community and connection with other people, like-minded people. And if you live in a large area, you know, sometimes it's not so simple for people, even in a large area, is what I mean to say, because of feeling like you're outside.
Yeah. I don't know. We
could be in Alaska. Boonies of Alaska and still feel isolated.
Yeah.
In a large city full of people.
We need to start an online Noahide Church of the Holy Blood Redemption of Cletus Wingfield.
My daddy would not appreciate that. I used his name for my Twitter.
Oh, boy.
Cletus. And jokingly, but that was my father's name, Cletus. And the thing that got me was shut her down, Cletus. She's sucking mud, hollering when you're working on an oil rig. She's sucking mud. Yes, mad, amazing how things come back to your mind after you lose your mind.
Hey, listen, folks. Remember, all complaints go to Noah at comeoutofhermypeople.net. Check out pathwaysradio.com, and you'll get to comeoutofhermypeople.net through there, too. Check out, there's on one of the circles there, I think it's called Defending the Faith. Great resources on smacking the idolaters upside the head with their ridiculous theology. Tons of resources there if you're looking for that kind of information. Besides all that, you have the radio station that plays 24/7, and we're going to be working on some new updated shows of Talking Torah, and we're going to get this one in that mix, and hopefully. There's been rumors abound that Mashiach Oy has done some work, so hopefully we're going to get another album out of them soon.
Very good.
Because we need some new music in there. And, gosh, I think that's about it.
Yes, and get some alcohol in these drinks in the green room.
Sorry, well, you know, the Appletini only has so much, but... I will make sure that we have, you know, maybe Bahama Mamas next time.
I did not break anything, so.
I know.
Leaving everything intact. But that's due to there was no alcohol in the drinks.
I thought Jed was going to be here, but...
Okay, I look forward to doing a show with Jed.
Yeah. So, thanks for joining me. Thanks for, you know...
Thank you for having me on, Jim.
Thanks for sharing that little article. I'll have to throw a link into that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, post it.
I'll post it.
Post it.
It'll be attached. If you go to our Podomatic site, and like I said, you go to the website, you can find the Podomatic site. Mm-hmm. We keep about 5 shows, I think, stocked in there. Not all of them. It only holds so much in the free storage.
Free storage.
So I got the free player there. But, yeah, I think if you click into the info or details of this particular podcast, you'll get the link that we were talking about as far as the Torah Commands, 3 verses. How many did you say?
36.
36.
Yeah. And Israel Campbell.
And then
yes.
You determine for yourself how out of balance that is. So,
but we have books on it. We have tons of books.
Tons of libraries
on not to mix meat with cheese.
Yep.
Yes. It's speaking of free, it's idol free, donation free, and
psychopath free.
Speak for yourself.
Yeah.
Have a good day, sir.
All right. Thank you.